I'm sure you're at the point where you don't think about it now, but when did you finally get over the hump?
Man, I think when Coach Beck called me, he was the first Power 5, you know, school to call me and kind of, you know, express his interest. And after that, was a sigh of relief just because I knew that I was headed in the right direction and that my gameplay was, you know, turning heads, and this potentially would set me up to be back at the highest level. So once Coach Beck called me and expressed his interest, that's when I knew that I said, okay, I can relax now, still play, but I don't have to have all this, you know, thoughts racing and getting on social media trying to check, you know, if a coach followed me, you know, after a game, trying to see if I done good enough, or, you know, if I had to do more, if I should have done more, or thinking about this play and that play, thinking about who was out there watching. And after that, that allowed me to play better, and allowed me to just play freely and have more fun with it.
What'd you know about Virginia when he reached out?
Nothing. Nothing. But
your brother had played against them.
Yeah, I knew my brother played against them, and I knew the helmets when they played them were cool. So that's one thing. Another thing is, I knew Tiki and Ronde Barber came here. I knew that before because I read a book about them when I was a kid. There's a picture, but in three, another quarterback from Arizona went to Virginia. I knew that Connor Brewer, and so I trained with him on his transition from, I think, NAU to Virginia, and he was kind of telling me about it. So not a lot of in depth, but you know, at least three things.
Coach,
what questions do you have then?
The type of, well. Because Coach took kind of called me, and they were transitioning. I knew they were at BYU, so the offensive, scheme, we kind of, you know, more in depth when I got here. The environment and being from Arizona, kind of all coming to Virginia, you know, we don't see a lot of green where I'm from, and it's a lot. And then the weather was definitely, you know, questions I had. And I definitely researched, me and my parents researched this, you know, just about in everything, just the environment, the school itself, being kind of a more historic, you know, school than I've come from. Just, you know, how everything was, you know, brought to be. And when we got here on our visit, one of the recruiting guys, Bob, took us around and kind of showed us, like, landmarks in the school itself, which was pretty cool. So.
The Broncos are already talking about the Virginia Tech. Well, I asked him about the Virginia Tech game. What do you think about the emphasis that's placed on the game, and how important is it going to be for you this year?
Oh, man. The emphasis is extreme. I mean, I think more so than last year for me personally, because, you know, I haven't really had any experience with Virginia Tech until that game. And then now, you know, after a year, you know, and after losing, how we lost, you know, it definitely, it still stings a little bit. I mean, and even last year, it took me a while to get over that, you know, even at school. And I'm not completely over it. When we talk about it, you know, I still get, you know, that little pin in my stomach.
It looked like you were on a path to score the winning touchdown there.
Yeah, and that's what, you know, as a player and a competitor, you know, it may not always be like this, but when that happened, I looked at myself like I lost the game for the team, which, you know, is the last play that lost the game. And I really took it to heart because it was like, man, it don't matter what you did leading up to that point, the last play, if it was on you, and then just replaying all the things that could have went.
There was a hole there, wasn't there?
Yeah, all the things that could have happened, just, you know, just replaying, and it was making me sick.
You got to be crazy mentally strong to get past that.
Yeah, I mean, and I was, like I said, I mean, it took a while. I mean.
But then look what you did in the Belt Bowl.
Yeah.
So it didn't take that long.
So it turned, like, you know, the five stages of grief. You know what I'm saying? So, like, you know, after, you know, I was in denial, I was angry,
yeah.
You know, I was sad. And after that, you know, leading up to the game, you know, it was the anger that kind of, you know, made me want to get back out there, mm-hmm. and just, you know, just whatever happened, just leave everything else, you know, mm-hmm. and behind, and just focus on that game. which I think we all did that. And that's what allowed us to, you know, go out there and win in the fashion that we did. So now transitioning to this year, we had to keep that same anger, but apply it to every game and not wait for a loss for it to be reenacted again. So
would you
play? I mean, I don't know if you've ever talked about what happened on that against Virginia Tech. It was a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Do you even remember? Was it blurred?
Oh yeah, I remember everything.
Like,
just perfect.
How did it?
I mean, it was the RPO, run pass, tight end in the flat. So you know, read the defender. So we were in pistol. I didn't jump back far enough to pull it. So when I kind of stayed on the running back's track. So when I jumped back and then I tried to pull it, I was too close to the running back. So I hit him, and then while I was trying to pull and throw, and the ball came out, and then I tried to reach for it, then I got hit, and so they got it. That's how she wrote.
What do you make of the expectations for this year? They're the highest they've been in over a decade. And do you embrace that? And what makes you believe that you can build on last year's success?
Well, I mean, it doesn't matter anybody else's expectation because they're not higher than ours. I mean, we really look at every game and just say, like, why not? Like, why should we lose this game? You know, are they that much? You know, so our expectations for ourselves is great. Is greater than, you know, a lot of outside expectations. And they may match it. And I think as a player and as a team, you know, when you expect more of yourself than other people, then that's when you start performing the best. So, I mean, and I take that to heart too. I'm my biggest critic. And that's going to allow us to train and practice the way we need to practice. If we truly believe that, you know, we're the best team in the Coastal, and we truly believe that we can win the ACC championship, then we're going to attack every day and practice and summer workouts like we deserve, you know, and we need, and we have to win the Coastal. So, I mean, so this summer has been intense as far as everybody trying to get bigger, faster and stronger. And then we're going to see when camp rolls around at how many guys, you know, on the board of win this championship.
What does the running back situation look like? You're losing a 1,000-yard rusher. You said that was your goal last year, to get him 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
What's your goal for those running backs this year?
Man, I mean, during spring it's hard to say because everybody, and I really mean everybody, you know, shows flashes of, oh wow, maybe this guy's a running back. Oh, true. Maybe he's a starter. And between all the guys, you know, L.A., Sharp, you know, Wayne, and PK, you know, we got to see. Coming in, I mean, I'm impressed with Wayne just because he's a younger guy and kind of how he handled the transition, the competition level. I mean, he's doing a great job. I mean, PK coming back, you know, one of the strongest guys, kind of reminds you of, you know, Jordan as far as how strong he is and how, you know, how his running style is. So this
a lot of people, though.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys, and that's a good problem to have, you know, also from the outside looking in, you know, within the room, you know, they're so competitive that, you know, someone's going to get, you know, slighted and someone's going to feel slighted a little bit. But so, I mean, it's going to come down to this fall camp. Whoever has the best fall camp is going to play week one. And we may play multiple running backs. Last year, J.E. was the clear-cut starter, so, you know, he got most of the carries. But if everybody's doing their job and performing at a high level, then, you know, I don't see no reason why, you know, multiple guys get fresh legs in, you know, during the game. So,
about receiver, with you and Olamide had a great rapport last year on the field. It seemed like with him not there, who do you think kind of steps up to kind of replace that production?
I mean, Olamide, yeah. I mean, he was so easy to work with just as far as, you know, I knew where he was going to be. And, you know, this year, kind of, you know, his skill set is kind of irreplaceable just as far as how smart, how fast, how strong he was on the field. But I've been working with, you know, a lot of the guys, you know, about four guys every day just to get, you know, clear, you know, chemistry down. And I don't know who's going to get majority of the load, but, you know, this team is pushing for, you know, Joe Reed to emerge as, you know, that slot presence as O was, and kind of step up him and TK, Tavarius Kelly, which is another great player. to step up and kind of, you know, take the similar routes and similar plays that he had and kind of, you know, put it on them. And both of the guys bring different things. You know, TK's fast. I mean, his angles are strong. I don't know how he cuts on a dime like how he does. I mean, he has to. Something's wrong with his ankles. It got to be. And then Joe Reed is just strong, athletic, and fast, and you can't tackle him. So both those guys at the slot position is going to do a lot of for us this year.
Who's the fastest guy between the three of you?
Me, TK, Joe Reed? So I ain't going to lie. You asked me this last year. You know, I may have said, you know, me. But, you know, my pride is washed. You know, I mean, TK definitely has a different level of speed that I have seen, so I'll give it to him.
Manny Diaz was up here earlier. He said last season as Miami was preparing to play you guys, what impressed him for all your physical skills was your sense of calm during the play, between plays, when pressured, and such. How have you developed that on-field demeanor where it just looks like you're unfazed, no matter the pressure?
It comes from my high school coach, my quarterback coach, Coach Garrison. I mean, regardless of what happened, he was always calm on the field. And he always told me, play medium, play medium, play medium. And so after that, it just, you know, it's still in my mind that, okay, regardless of what happens, you know, things go here, things go up, things go down, but if you stay the same, if you stay level-headed, and then you'll be able to handle any situation when it comes. So they always call me my coach called me the cool Jamaican, just because I had dreads. And that's because no matter what, you know, I've always seemed to stay calm and stay level-headed, not too high, not too low. And I think that's when I'm at my best. So trying to translate that to now, I still try to keep that same quality. So.
You think your teammates feed off that too and notice that, and maybe that helps them keep a sense of calm as well?
Yeah, I mean, different guys have different personalities. Right. Like, I'm very calm on the field to try to be. And then, you know, Haas is very, you know, emotional and very energetic, which, you know, works for him. You know, that brings out the best of him. So, you know, regardless of if we're, you know, really energetic or really calm, as long as, you know, our mindset's the same, it doesn't matter how it gets to it. I mean, but definitely if they see me down, depressed, that definitely, you know, the team definitely sees that and definitely, you know, kind of reacts as that. So I try to stay calm for the team, and whoever else, you know, decides to stay calm or, you know, play really emotional, play really aggressive and kind of show like a mad face, you know. Everybody has their own way of, you know, attacking the game, but the mindset has to be confident regardless.
Pitch coach also mentioned your calmness, and does that serve you well when it comes to all the decision making with the RPOs and everything? Just that calmness, that poise.
Yeah, I mean, especially facing Pitt, I mean, they bring a lot of guys at you. And even throughout the year, just a lot of things are moving. You know, guys, especially Miami, big defensive linemen, and just kind of, you know, calming myself, not getting too jittery, you know, allows me to make the best decisions. So.
When people talk about dual threat quarterbacks, you're usually talking about 5'10", 180-pound guys. You're a dual threat quarterback who has everything else says NFL prototype, the height, the weight, the size, the arm strength. Thinking about potentially the next level, how can you showcase yourself perhaps, to show that you have those skills while also doing what you need to do to help this offense run the way it needs to run?
My knowledge, I'm going to step away from the physical aspect of it for a second. Just my knowledge of the game and making decisions is definitely going to, you know, allow myself to separate myself from other stereotypes about dual threat quarterbacks or other, you know, other people in the conference or even in America. And then just proving that, you know, I can be, my coach always says this, you don't want to be an athlete that can pass, you know what I'm saying? You want to be a quarterback that can make plays with his feet. So I want to be better passer than runner and have the ability to put guys in a good position to catch the ball and, you know, make plays for them you know, opposed to me, you know, trying to take off and wearing my body down and kind of using my legs when I don't have to, but trying to make it smart. So
you talked about letdowns kind of late in the season.